look, we've had terror attacks in New Jersey, New York. We had the stabbing in Minnesota, St. Cloud, Minnesota. Actually, I've been to that Crossroads Mall 50 times.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you're from there.
I mean, I have been to that. I know that mall. I'm actually surprised there weren't more CCW holders. I actually know a fair number of CCW holders in that area. But there happened to have been an off-duty police officer. He wasn't just an off-duty police officer. He owns a firing range.
Yes.
And is an NRA instructor who just happened to be there. So we're going to talk to John Lott. He is president at the Crime Prevention Center and author of More Guns, Less Crime. John, good morning. Is this one of those rare instances where the good guy was in the right place at the right time, or is this something that is more of an opportunity than we know?
No, thanks for having me on. Well, if people want to go to our website at crimeresearch.org, there are literally dozens of cases in just the last few years where mass public shootings have been stopped by concealed carry permit holders. The thing is, these usually only get just local news attention. They don't get national news attention. Last year you had cases like an Uber driver who just had dropped off a fare in downtown Chicago. A gang member was shooting at people on a sidewalk, and the Uber driver who had a concealed carry permit got out, wounded the attacker. You had a case at a volunteer fire department last year where there was Children's Day, and they were giving kids rides on fire trucks and giving them ice cream, and somebody came by, started attacking the fire station there, and two volunteer firemen who had concealed carry permits were able to stop the attack. You have cases like in Conway, Georgia last year where a man went into a liquor store, started firing, fortunately, it killed two people. Fortunately, there was a permit holder who just happened to be walking by who came in, was able to exchange shots, and caused the gunmen to run away.
But, John, what about the counter-argument, though? So, like the Gabby Gifford shooting in Tucson, for example, there was a CCW holder there who said, well, I wasn't gonna fire back because I was concerned that law enforcement would think that I was one of the perpetrators. You know, what about the people who argue on that point?
Right. Well, look, I mean, anything's possible, but if you look at the dozens of cases, even, as I say, in just the last few years where mass public shootings have been stopped, I mean, these are cases where police or prosecutors have said these people have saved multiple lives. You can't find one single case where a police officer who's arrived on the scene has accidentally shot the permit holder. You can't find one case where a permit holder who's been stopping these attacks has accidentally shot a bystander. So, I mean, those types of things can always be raised as possibilities, but here we have lots of data. And, while it's possible, it's not something that we see occurring.
So what about, I think this is an important conversation. So this guy was an off-duty police officer, which is very different from a CCW holder, right? So tell me about, and one of the concerns I would see that people have, I lived in Minnesota when it became a shall issue state. I've lived in Texas. I've lived in California where, unless you live in certain counties in California, you can't get a CCW permit at this point. I mean, it's just impossible in certain places in California. What is the resistance around the shall issue statute? Actually, better yet, explain to me the difference between shall issue and like in California where it's up to the discretion of the sheriff.
Right. Well, we have over 14.5 million concealed carry permit holders in the United States. So that's a little bit over 6% of the adult population. And that's despite the fact that we've had 11 states, you don't even need a permit to be able to go and carry. So the number of people who legally carry is much higher than that. You have two different types of states. You have those states that once you meet certain objective rules, you're allowed to go and get a concealed carry permit. And then you have others, like California, where you have to demonstrate need to some local public official, like a sheriff. So Los Angeles County, a couple years ago, had 240 concealed carry permits for a population of 8.5 million people. The type of people who get permits in those places, like Los Angeles County. You know, you have some judges, they have permits, but you also have extremely wealthy, well-connected
yes.
political people who are able to go and get it. And I'm glad,
but, you know. But hang on, John. No. I want to take that a step further. That was actually a scandal in Santa Clara
right.
County in San Jose, up in the Bay Area here in California, because the only people who got conceal and carry permits were wealthy, politically connected
oh, really?
Democrats who basically made large political contributions, and then they got their CCW permit, but nobody else can get one.
You had a similar scandal in Orange County, California.
Yes.
Yes.
And the sheriff there went to jail. So, I mean...
But in San Jose, the sheriff got reelected.
Right. Well, in San Francisco County, for a number of years, you had one person who had a concealed carry permit, and that was the personal lawyer for the sheriff.
So that's the problem with the making where you don't have shall issue, where you have criteria. Look, I'm actually a supporter of requiring certain amount of training and a background check and everything else. Again, Texas has that. Minnesota
right.
had that. And again, living in Minnesota, when it became a shall issue state, there were the people crying. I'm not exaggerating, John. Crying on the state capitol set, saying there was going to be blood running in the streets because yeah. of shall issue. It didn't turn out that way. Actually, what's interesting is Minnesota is one of those states where statistics don't really support it one way or the other. It's kind of neutral is how it's turned out with shall issue.
Well, I mean, there are some questions that are extremely easy to answer, and that is the behavior of permit holders. And what you find in state after state is that it's hard to find any other group in the population that's as law-abiding as concealed carry permit holders are. They lose their permits for any type of firearms-related violation.
As they should.
Thousands or tens of thousands, 1%. And even that small number is primarily one of two cases, either people forgetting to have their concealed carry permit with them, you know, in these rare cases sometimes, or accidentally carrying their permit concealed handgun into a gun-free zone. I mean, probably one of the most famous examples of that is Barry Switzer, the former coach of the Dallas Cowboys, being late for a team plane and running into the Dallas-Fort Worth airport with his handgun with him.
And not his permit.
But, you know, if you look at police rarely get convicted of firearms violations, but permit holders are actually convicted at about 1/7 the rate for firearms violations that police are. And, you know, again, it's pretty hard to find any other group that's as law-abiding. You find, if you look at the academic research out there, you find over 2/3 of the peer-reviewed studies find that concealed carry permit holders reduce violent crime.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of open carry, but I am a fan. I'm not a fan is maybe not the right word. I absolutely understand the benefit of a well-trained CCW holder having the ability, and as you document, as you said on your website, crimeresearch.org, these incidents where they do actually stop crime. John, I appreciate this your time this morning. John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center and author of More Guns and Less Crime. Again, it's crimeresearch.org. John, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, really appreciate it.